Welcome to the South Jordan Planning Commission meeting for Tuesday, February 27th, 2024. We'd like to thank both applicants and members of the public who have joined us this evening. We have a full commission for a second time in a row. That's really exciting for us. With that, we'll just move straight into our business for this evening. There is quite a bit to work through. So our first item is to approve our agenda as published today.
Madam Chair, I move that we approve this evening's agenda as published.
Thank you, Commissioner Gedge. I will second that. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Everybody's had an opportunity to review our minutes from our February 13th meeting. Any concerns or corrections that you'd like to note? Okay, I'm ready for a motion.
I'll move that we approve the minutes from the February 13th, 2023 meeting.
Thank you, Commissioner Bevins. I will second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, great. Staff, any business for us this evening?
None from the planning department. I'm not sure about legal, but or engineering, but I don't think so.
I hope there's none from legal. It means we've done something wrong. But if you have something, please speak.
Something serious we need to talk about.
Uh-oh.
No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm good.
Okay. I do have one item for staff. I've become aware that Mr. Wimmer, for sure, and maybe potentially Mr. Bishop, don't have their city emails. I know they're set up because I've seen emails going to them, but they do not have access. Who do they need to contact? Is that Mr. Schaefermeyer?
No, I'm not sure. Is John? He's waving his hand.
Mr. Day. Okay. They'll be talking to you after the meeting. We'll get them set up with that. I had one other item for the commission. There is an email that goes all out to all city staff. I'm going to ask Mr. Schaefermeyer if that's appropriate that everybody receive that. Are you interested in that? And it's okay to say no. You're going to get HR updates and time card updates, but then you also get the letter from the, I just forgot his name.
Mr. Lewis.
The city manager, and it's not Mr. Wadcott.
Dustin Lewis.
Mr. Lewis, thank you. That I do actually find very interesting and worth getting all the other emails for. I know Ms. Bevins is interested. Is there anyone else interested in receiving that?
I'll take it.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay.
I would, as sometimes I have a family member who's mentioned in the emails, so it's good to pass, that those aren't passed on at our home, so it's good to share with other family members.
All right. I will make that request to Mr. Schaefermeyer, and as long as he feels like it's appropriate, you should start getting those at your city email as well. I was held late at work last week and did not get to plan or attend the city council meeting. Is there any chance that anybody else did that would like to provide an update? Mr. Bishop, were you at the work session or the meeting perchance?
I was, yes.
Sorry to put you on the spot. Is there any update you think that the council would?
Not that I can think of.
Okay. All right.
I do have the agenda, so there was no action that's pertaining to us.
Okay. So. Thank you. All right. Commissioners, any business from you?
Just, I will not be absent at the next meeting, the first meeting in March, okay. For work. But however, if there needs to be for a quorum, I can zoom in from the golf course.
I plan to be here. Any other absent on our first meeting in March? Okay. Then we should probably take care of this now since you will not be here next time. In the second meeting in March, both Ms. Bevins and I will be gone. I am chair, normally vice chair, runs those meetings when that's the case, but with Ms. Bevins absent, I would like to make a motion to appoint Mr. Gedge to run a meeting in the absence of the two of us. Discussion? Okay, we have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, thank you, Mr. Gedge. All right, then let's get it down to business. Our first administrative item this evening is the Daybreak North Station Multifamily Number 1 Subdivision, Second Amendment, and Greg has our staff report.
Okay, just soon we get the pictures up. Maybe.
While we're waiting, is there somebody representing LHM Real Estate here this evening?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
It was last time and it showed up. No. It's only supposed to show up.
Yeah.
It's not showing the slideshow. Like it should.
Is it? I tried that. It's not giving me.
Not doing what you need. Well. Yeah, I'm not sure why you're not coming up.
End the slideshow and start over?
Yeah, we can do that. Nope.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's up there.
There you go.
Okay. And you'll see that part.
Yeah. Okay. All right, thank you. The first project that you'll see tonight, two of them from Daybreak. The first one is North Station Multifamily Number 1, Second Amendment. The First Amendment, we'll get to this picture here. What these are, these are a townhome subdivision, and I think it's been a couple of years. I think it was 2022 that you saw these same. Not these lots exactly, but other lots in the subdivision just adjacent to these. They're just changing not the number of lots, but how the lots are divided due to the size and shape of the actual the buildings. They're not fitting the exact lines that were originally approved. They had a change in product. Not really in size, but the dimensions and how the lines would run between them. And that's all they're doing at this time is the same thing. Let's see if I can get to the next page. There we go. Those are the ones that are being changed this time. It's the proposed plat. This shows what the original ones look like. The lines are fairly similar. They just may have a little fewer. In the new one, they don't quite zig and zag as much as I guess how to describe it. Staff, this has met all the requirements of subdivision amendment through state code, city code. And it's like I said, it's not changing the number of units or their height or anything like that. It's just. It's just an amendment to fix the lot lines between. And staff is recommending approval.
Thank you. Commissioners, questions? Please, Mr. Gedge.
Yeah, just to follow up on one of the training items we had last meeting. And I believe that, you know, in the past, the Planning Commission would review lot line adjustments, which is very similar to, however, we're seeing this item tonight. Is this because that these types of items are just technically different? Or is this something that we need to look at maybe cleaning up the items coming to us in the future to be similar to those lot line adjustments that would be done administratively?
Well, the lot line, if they do it administratively, they'll have to have an application for each lot line that they're doing. This is a much less expensive, even though they have to have hire an engineer to do the subdivision amendment and so forth. I'm pretty sure that it's less expensive for them to do it this way. It's also less time consuming for commission and staff because we'd have to have multiple hearings on lot line adjustments for that. It would take so the way we do them now is staff is recommended that they go through the subdivision amendment when they're changing this many lot lines, because when the county does it through lot line adjustment, most of the time they will not eliminate the lot lines that were existing. They'll just add the new ones, and then it's really hard for everybody to figure out where they're at. So,
Oh, great. I just wanted to make sure I understood the difference in the reasoning why. So, especially where we have a couple new commissioners as well. So thank you for that.
Sure.
Other questions?
I had a comment. Yes. Mm-hmm. Will you please go back to the location map? I don't see any reason to deny this application, but I wanted to make a comment about signage, actually. When you approach the school, first off, on either side, the roads there are one way. They feed out to South Jordan Parkway. You can't enter there.
Each side of the school, correct? Those two?
Right, yes. Okay. So in order to get to the school, if you're coming from the east, for instance, you've got to get off of South Jordan Parkway before you expect to. Otherwise, you've got to go past it because you can't get in there. And we could really use a sign there to say, hey, this is the place to get off. And then with these townhomes going in, as you go down that road, you won't be able to see that the school's there and that, you know, you need to take a left here in order to get to the school. I live right next to here. My kids go to this school, so I'm familiar with this situation. But I just thought I'd pass that on. I don't know who that would go to exactly. But.
Are you talking about the two side driveways that are on both sides of the school? Because those are on school property. They're not public streets. So I don't know how we would have. I don't know, Jeremy. Is it up to the school to provide one way, you know, or some kind of a signage to get people in there, or?
I'm referring to the street that comes, it's to the east in particular. I don't know, Cardinal Park Road.
Oh, Cardinal Park, that's a public street. So I thought it was just the driveways are adjacent to the school that they were only.
Yeah, that's where you think you can turn in until you get there and you see, oh, I can't because they're one way coming out.
We don't typically put signs up for schools, but I see where you're coming from. You know that could be confusing for some of the parents. Typically we don't put up signage for schools.
It seems interesting to me, though, that why does the school have both of them going out to the parkway when they could have one in and one out? I don't know. So that's interesting.
Does it feel like that's part of like a circulation plan? Many businesses have to have. I mean, sometimes we formally require it, but it feels like this is a situation where communication to communication of how it best circulates to a defined list of stakeholders could be a way to help.
It's been a while since I've looked at. I've driven through that school drop off before, and I know they one way it, the one on the west. I just can't remember how the one on the east functions. I can't remember if it's two way. You probably
it's the same.
Know,
yeah, they're both one way coming out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jeremy, they're showing right out only.
Thankfully, parents who are late dropping their kids off to school never drive in a frustrated manner in this area. So when they miss the sign that doesn't exist, it will not be a problem.
I think the reason they have both of them one way in the same direction is for the pickup. Because parents in the morning when they're dropping off, they just come, drop off, and go. But when they're in the afternoon when they're picking them up, they'll park there for a half an hour or longer. And it'll just be a big line, and they don't want the cars to back out onto to stack into South Jordan Parkway. So they probably it's much easier for them to stack them on Pipestone in the afternoon. So that's probably why they do it. Is looking at that then. So, Jeremy, if I don't know if you can look into something like that, if it's possible to, I don't know how we would. Do that, but
we could put signs up. It's just probably a question for the city if they want to start putting wayfinding signs up for schools. Because if we put it up for this school, then it will apply to all the other schools. You know, then all the other schools may start asking for it. So it's probably a policy question.
I was going to say other questions. Go ahead, Mr.
Well, Brown. I'm not looking at the satellite view. It might be like a visual of the white line on the side. It kind of curves in like you can turn. So it might be something like that as a visual cue mm-hmm. to adjust. So it doesn't, I don't know if that'll stop someone. But you never know how much like the nonverbal, the subtle cues that we take might just kind of, anyway, that is a little different for sure. I see what you're saying.
Questions down here? I have one for the applicant or the representative of the applicant, if you're willing to answer.
I can sure give a try.
Okay, would you state your name and association for the records, please?
John Warnick, Director of Land Development for Larry H. Miller.
Thanks. Greg mentioned that we're changing from some zigzag to kind of straight. Can you tell me what type of product needs that?
There, so it's actually part of the other change too is the builder's changed. Mm-hmm. And so it's just their townhome design, that it's this builder is gonna be Sego, is different than what Vandale was before. Mm-hmm. So with the different product and the different dimensions, that's okay. Why we had to change the lots.
Do you not anticipate that the other lots in this subdivision will change too?
No, these are the only ones that we're basically selling to Sego.
Okay.
So.
Questions for the applicant while he's here? Okay, thank you for joining us this evening.
Yep, thanks.
At this time, I'm going to open up the floor to public comment. If you've joined us this evening to speak to this item, we invite you to come to the podium, state your name and where you reside for our records, and then you'll have 3 minutes to present evidence to the commission. We'll extend the same opportunity to those online. We just ask that you turn on your camera and give us a wave. Did anyone join us this evening to speak on this item? Okay, I'm not seeing anybody online either, so I'm going to close public comment and bring it back to the commission. Commissioners, any discussion or concerns about this item before we have a motion and a vote?
I just think this is a typical item with the schools in the area. And I thought this is a charter school, but whatever communication be with the schools, community councils, the school district, to help improve traffic flow with these types of situations. Especially, I believe, maybe our next item, we might be reviewing a school potential. So just FYI, just moving forward as these come in. And or if like the HOA of Daybreak can send something out as well to their residents of, you know, where to park, where to pick up, where to drop off. Friendly reminders.
So as I've been on a school community council, they do have the purview of your safe walking plan and that type of a circulation. And I happen to know that Mr. Nielsen is actually very helpful if you have a concern to come out and help monitor and put solutions in place. So to support what you just said, that's definitely
there's no
something.
Other comments, I'd like to make a motion, please.
Yep.
I move based on the staff report and the discussion this evening, we approve file number PLPLA 20230017 for the Daybreak North Station Multifamily Number 1 Subdivision Second Amendment as presented.
Okay, we have a motion. Any discussion on that motion? Okay. I will second that motion. Ms. Crookston, can we get a roll call vote, please?
Commissioner Gedge?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollist?
Yes.
Commissioner Wimmer?
Aye.
Commissioner Catmull?
Aye.
Commissioner Bevins?
Yes.
And Commissioner Bishop?
Aye.
Okay, this item passes unanimously. I'd like to thank the applicant for joining us this evening. We always appreciate your participation. All right, our second item this evening is the Daybreak Village 15 Plat 1 Preliminary Subdivision, and Greg has our staff report.
Sorry about that, we're having a little bit of a problem with the next item. this is for Daybreak Village 15 Plat 1, which this plat does include a school, a property that's going to be a future elementary school. Originally, I don't know if you can see it on this, the elementary school property followed the roads, Lake Avenue, and then on the north, Meadowgrass, and then Flying Fish Drive on one side and Watercourse on the other side. And that property was the site owned by the Jordan School District. But there's some changes with this plat, that the changes are to actually, first of all, we've already gone through the process of vacating Flying Fish Drive from where it now shown on this plat where it ends. The rest of the road has been vacated by the City Council, the right of way. And then with this plat, it will, the future school site will get, I guess you could say, wider and less, you know, and instead of going up north-south, it'll be oriented more east-west. Pretty much the same size property. The lots that are shown on to the north of the school site will be the originally they will start out as a model home site for model homes out in the west side. Perhaps Mr. Warnock can add to that a little bit, but you can see there's a lot of different lot sizes for all the different types of products that will be probably available for Village 15 area. So there's the large lots. The lots range in size, put in my staff report, from 1,841 square feet to 10,949 square feet. So there's quite a large range in there and that will also in future plats, there will probably be some lots of those sizes as well. Maybe not quite the same mix as it is in the model home, but those homes should be available. They build on those, will be available in the area on certain other lots as well. So don't really have anything else to add on that. The net, because of the big school property, the density, is for gross density, it's only 1.1 units per acre, which is pretty open. But this, the residential portion, you took the density of that area only, it's 9.7 units per acre, which either way, it's still within the PC zone, which states that in a village area, whether it's designated as a village, it can have up to 25 units per acre is the maximum density. So.
Do you count the school when you calculate your gross density? Is it a one?
No. That's what we counted the school as, we didn't count it as a lot though. So, but we counted the whole area because it's the density only goes for residential density. But in this case, even the net density is still below 10 units per acre. Okay.
Commissioners, questions for staff? Okay, any questions for the applicant? Do you have anything you want to add to the staff report? If you do, please come to the podium. Thank you.
John Warwick again, Larry H. Miller. So this model village is actually going to serve, it might serve some of the area in Village 15, but it's primarily going to serve Village 9, which is the water course. These are new product that we've been working with the builders on developing, that we're putting it in this location right next to where we're going to have a future amenity on top of, the water course, obviously. It's called the Cove House. And so this is I guess Larry H. Miller's first real model village launch that we're doing. So we're very excited about it. We're hoping possibly that some of the builders put their homes in the parade. We've been working really well with the school on helping get their site situated. Actually, this has worked out really well for them as well. So we're excited to get going, and my office is excited for me to come back and say we're going. So anyways, any questions, let me know.
Well, you came up, so I'll ask one. Do you know what the timeline is for this, for putting in those units? As well as the school?
We hope to have the model home park open by probably by late July. And the school is supposed to start construction here in the next couple months. But I'll let the school speak for that, sure. But that's what we've been told.
Okay. Commissioners, please up here.
I got a question. Are these all single family homes or is there a mixture of product in here?
You know, I think they're all single family. I don't believe there's any townhomes in there.
Okay. And then are these all private lanes or alleyways or are these public?
They are the street, so like Flying Fish, and then I can't remember what the street is below it. Key Largo. I should know, I put these names together. Those are public, and the lanes internally are going to be private.
Okay.
So, and then you'll see soon we'll have Village 15 Plat 2, which is the property that's going to the east of this, that's going down along Lake Avenue. So that's going to kind of be this whole little area, and everything else you'll see will be on the Village 9 on the north side of Lake Avenue.
Okay. I have one more question. Sorry. It looks like on the site plan it's showing like 12 feet and 12 feet, so 24 foot wide. Is that before curb and gutter, or is that including all of that on the streetway?
For the lanes? Mm-hmm. That the lanes are basically, it's from edge of lane to edge of lane. So they're not necessarily curb and gutter inside the private alleys. It's just kind of just, I guess, if you will, just a curb, or not curb, just the end of a basically an alley, concrete waterway, if you will.
Okay.
But yeah, so those lanes are smaller because they're private, but they still meet the fire code that we have worked out. And then everything else is up to standard on the outside.
Okay.
So they're pretty typical alley woods.
Other questions, Mr.
Woodman
or Cat Mullen? Okay.
Thank you very much. All right. Thank you.
All right, I'm going to open up this item to public comment. If you've joined us this evening to speak to this item, we asked you to approach the podium, and you may present evidence to the commission. You guys are throwing me for a loop. You added somebody to the Zoom, but I'm guessing nobody wants on Zoom to speak either. Okay. I don't see anybody that has joined us this evening to speak to this item, so I will close public comment and bring it back to the commission. Commissioners, further discussion, questions? Okay, I'm ready for a motion.
Madam Chair, I'd like to make a motion, please.
Please.
Based on this evening's staff report and discussion that we've had, I move that we approve project number PLPP 2023-00191, subject to the following, that all South Jordan City requirements are met prior to recording the plan.
All right, thank you. We have a motion. Is there any discussion? I will second that motion then. Ms. Crookston.
Commissioner Gedge?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollis?
Yes.
Commissioner Wimmer?
Aye.
Commissioner Catmull?
Aye.
Commissioner Bevins?
Yes.
And Commissioner Bishop?
Aye.
Okay, this item passes 6-0. We look forward to seeing your new variety of product out in Daybreak. And again, thank you for joining us this evening. All right, our next item, H3, is the Harvest Point West Preliminary Subdivision, and Miguel has our staff report.
Thank you. So the proposal here for the preliminary subdivision is this regular lot and located in the Albertson subdivision. The proposal is to divide it and the southern lot to become the Harvest Point Townhome Subdivision. That area is currently vacant. And here, you can see a map of the zoning. This is the only lot in the subdivision that has an RM, residential multifamily zoning designation. Here is the proposed plat for the lot, the part of the lot that's gonna be taken away from lot 6. And become its own little subdivision with residential townhome units. One note that I wanted to make here, it was brought to my attention by our GIS coordinator, Matt, after the staff report was made, that the internal addresses of the residents and the streets are incorrect. So for the final subdivision application, the applicant will need to correct that. But apart from that, this plat complies with the development agreement and staff recommends approval.
Can you say that again? Sorry. What Mr. Jarman pointed out.
So the internal street coordinates and the residential addresses are incorrect.
Okay.
So the applicant will need to make corrections to that on the final.
That rings familiar. I feel like we had a resident complained the first time we heard this item about the address not being correct for the property. But I could be recalling. And that would have been before your time. I know this was somebody else's project before you.
Yeah, I only received one public comment, but it didn't have to do with, I don't believe it had to do with the addressing. I could check again, though. I'm not sure.
I remember, for what it's worth.
Mr. Bishop for the win. I like it.
I believe the applicants said something about, like, after this is developed, that the address would be on a different street than how it was mapped out in the diagram. So slightly different. It's a question, I think.
Miguel, so I feel like we often will get a copy of the development agreement when there's one in place, just so that we know what we're comparing it to, since it's not just our typical set of ordinances. Who reviewed to make sure that it met everything that City Council laid out for this?
Who reviewed the development agreement?
Mm-hmm.
So I looked at it when reviewing the plat, and then for the site application. I did not look at that when reviewing that because I didn't do the whole review for the site application, but I did look at it for this. I just didn't catch the incorrect addressing and coordinates.
Okay, so we do have the minutes from the last time the City Council saw this. This is obviously a different product than we saw and declined a positive approval for it. So, I mean, I'm definitely seeing improvements. There's lower density. I guess just my main concern is we don't have access to the development agreement so that we can go through and say, did it meet what City Council wanted? They obviously, you know, turn from their minutes the home so that they're not looking into backyards. They decrease the density.
Yeah, so I have it. I can send it to you. I just didn't think about sending it to you in the packet, but I can send it to you now. As far as I have seen for the plat itself, apart from the incorrections that I have been notified of, it looks to comply with it. I didn't catch any other mistakes on it except for that. If Greg wanted to say something.
I think the plat itself does, you know, it's the development agreement probably it states how many units and so forth on it. And this plat has that. It doesn't have anything to do with the addressing. The addressing is not. I think is it just the wrong numbers, like should be odd numbers versus even numbers, that kind of thing, or are the coordinates completely off? But if those kind of things, if the coordinates aren't correct, that's easily fixed. Mm-hmm. I think you might, if you're worried about any, if it's an issue that's with the site plan, that's the next thing you're going to review, and this the plat has nothing to do. There's no you know, there isn't issues of parking, aren't any issues with the plat because they don't come with the plat in this case, because they have a separate site plan application that's being reviewed for all the different amenities and different things on there. But as the plat, the number of lots and the density meets what the council approved.
So it sounds like what I'm getting tripped up with would apply to the next.
I think so. If I think I know what you're going to be talking about that, and you probably, we have it pulled up now on my laptop. The actual the development agreement. It is 29 pages, and I think we can send that to you as well. But I don't know how, if we can do it right away, but we'll get them to you, obviously. But the attorney has it pulled up, and I think has an answer for another question for you that you may have.
Okay. Well, I'm going to let it simmer for a minute then and ask the other commissioners if they've got questions.
Now, regarding the preliminary subdivision.
Okay. Down here?
I have a question. So can we go back to where it just shows the entire subject property? That's fine. So this section, like, obviously we're not looking at this whole piece of property for these townhomes. It's just that bottom half. But is the density of this property including that entire thing, or is it just the portion that these townhomes are sitting on?
You're talking about the density of the residential units?
Yes.
So it should be only including that, just the platted area here.
So just that is what we're calculating the density off of, not the entire subject property.
No, this plat here will become separated from that, so it's calculated. It's its own.
So just to confirm, in the application, you list that the acreage is 3.16 acres. That is not referring to this piece that we're looking at right now. That's only referring to a portion of that piece.
Right, the whole thing is 3.16 acres. This smaller piece is a chunk of that. It's can't tell from the presentation. It's I'm gonna pull it up on my computer really quick to see the number there.
It's 1.91 acres.
So this works out to be 10 and a half units per acre.
1.91, sorry about that. This image is a blurry, so. But it's on the plat itself, it says 1.91.
So again, that's 10.5 units per acre in that area. But I assume that city council...
They were approved for 11 units per acre.
Okay. And I assume city council, based on their meeting minutes, approved this because they allowed them to use the entire area, the 3.16, in calculating that density, correct?
I would think so. If the density is with the 3.3 acres or whatever is that's 10.5, then that's what they calculated it as in the development agreement.
Okay, so if they use the 3.16, it's 6.3 units. But if they use the 1.9, it's 10.5.
So that's they just allowed them to only count it. That's the density of that subdivision as it stands, is 10.5, and that's they were allowed up to 11 for that.
And 11 is in the development agreement? Is that what we have?
That surprises me. I thought city council always held pretty firm to 8.
There was a lot of negotiations when that application started in 2020 and wasn't approved until 2023. Mm-hmm. So it's at some point they approved it.
So the silly little strip of useless grass running up the left side of the plot isn't included in the analysis?
I don't know where the...
It's actually just concrete. It's a weird dead end. I went and drove and looked.
Well, I live near there, so I'm familiar with it, but I'm just curious if they're, you know, using that otherwise already unused area to somehow make the numbers look more appealing than they actually are when you're driving through 20 houses on an acre.
Which piece are you looking at?
Well, there's the subdivision itself doesn't include that piece, so...
I'm sorry to belabor the point. Greg, what does their development agreement allow them for this subdevelopment? And you're saying 10.5 and that's written into the agreement?
I said 11, I think was what
11 was the agreement, and you can see that?
I'll go back to it.
This, like I said, I reviewed those meeting minutes you sent, and that surprises me.
Let's see.
Hey, Greg, I'm just on page 2.
Page 2, show it.
Page 2, item E, second item, it says density, and I can just read it if you want real quick.
Sure.
It says, the overall density of the project will not exceed 20 residential units, period. That's all it says about density.
Read it one more time. I want to hear the phrasing that came after overall density.
This is under the section called developer obligations, and then item 2, it says density. The overall density of the project will not exceed 20 residential units, period.
Okay.
Is the development agreement pertaining to the entire 3.1 acres, or is it only pertaining to the subdivision unit?
Ooh.
Actually, I don't know. I don't know that either. I mean, just the project was never my project. I don't have that much information about it. But I'll tell you, it doesn't matter if it was the whole 3.16 or the 1.91. They still only got 20 units, and that's all they've got. So,
Madam Chair, regarding this item and the next item, I think there's a lot of questions where we, as a commission, have not been given the development agreement for us just to make a valid determination in our role as planning commission. So I feel it's prudent on us to table both this item and the next item until we receive all the information necessary before we open public comment and testimony, because I think this is being brought to us prematurely.
I agree, Commissioner Gidge. I'm always reluctant, though, if somebody's joined us. It's a lot of time and effort out of their day. So if they have joined us for public comment, I'd like to probably give them that opportunity.
But the development agreement might,
I know,
deflect or be in opposition to their comment. So that's my only concern, is not having that in front of us for us to have the full picture. And it seems that, you know, I believe some staff that have reviewed this in the past and may have given green lights are no longer with the city as well. Mm-hmm. And so we don't have a full history of the review as well. So
I'd prefer to hear public comment, at least on this item, before we table.
I would too, just in case somebody came. However, I would like to also still have that public comment option be available when we do have our full packet. But I am open to a motion to...
Well, I'd make a motion if we're going to have to do public comment, the motion afterwards.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Is the applicant, Mr. Seaman, with us this evening?
Yep.
Would you like to come and add anything to the staff report or answer some questions? Again, would you state your name for our records?
Yeah. Jeff Seaman, Peterson Development. So, I don't know why you didn't get the development agreement, but we comply with everything in the development agreement, except for two minor items. One is that we thought we could get 7 parking stalls behind that useless strip of grass that you talked about. There's some utilities in there. And instead of 7, we're only going to get 4. But talking to David Mann and Steven Schaefermeyer, that would be resolved because we still meet and exceed the code for parking. Parking in code is like 2.5 per unit. And this, with those, even with the 3 less stalls, we're at 4.7 per unit. So The other minor issue was square footage of these units. due to a miscalculation and misnumbering on the coordinates, the development agreement says that it's going to be 2,100 square feet. We're just under that. We're at like 19. So, but the rest of the development agreement we comply with. It's been a long process.
I know.
We've done this a number of times. We've had public comment. We've agreed to the development agreement. The city has agreed.
Mm-hmm.
So,
questions for Mr. Seaman while he's up here. I would like to thank you for joining us this evening. I think just our only hesitation is that we would like to look at the development agreement just to make sure we agree that it's in compliance. I'm sure you're well aware of our authority, and it only extends to making sure that that's executed appropriately. We can't require any changes beyond that.
Right.
We just haven't had an opportunity to see it.
Okay.
So.
Oh. I understand it's disappointing, but oh well.
Thank you. All right, I am going to open up the floor to public comment on item H3, the preliminary subdivision for Harvest Point West. I would like to make one note before we start that we did receive an email comment from Mr. Hilsinger regarding parking and concerns surrounding parking. And so just to note for our records that we did receive that, and that will be included in the minutes. Thank you, Ms. Crookston. All right, if you've joined us this evening to speak to this item, we'd invite you to come forward and address the commission. Are you here to speak on this item?
I am Robert Hilsinger. So I'm the one that sent the email.
Oh, will you please come up?
Madam Chair, before we allow him to speak, I brought this up in previous years.
Mm-hmm.
However, if a member of the public submits email as their comment, and then also are we going to afford them also the ability to speak? So that's giving them the opportunity to basically give testimony twice. So just so we set a precedence moving forward for other applications, what's the, going to be the purview of this commission? Do we want to allow that, especially when we have more heated items that might...
Sure. Yeah. I do think it's appropriate tonight, since two of our commissioners don't have their email set up yet and probably have not had an opportunity to review that. So we need you to come up to the emails. Mr. Hilsinger, you've got to speak at the microphone, otherwise it won't be on our records. Right. So will you state your name and where you reside? And then you've
so,
got 3 minutes.
My name is Robert Hilsinger. I live at 10515 South Sage Creek Road. My back porch looks over the park across the street and sees that. Now my comments are going to be nothing contrary to what I put in my email. I for one am all for additional housing. People need places to live. I do not think that this is an adequate spot. I think the increased traffic due to the houses will pose a risk to the children that use that park and also the children that attend that daycare right next to the empty lot. I also noticed that the parking lot at Nielsen's seems too small for the amount of business they get, especially during the warmer months. So I think in expanding their parking lot and maybe expanding the park or moving it across the street and add more parking there instead would be a better use of the land.
Thank you, Mr. Hilsinger. I said it wrong again. I apologize for joining us this evening and for your comments. Is there anyone else that would like to address the commission on this item? Okay, I'm going to close public comment and bring it back to the commissioners. Can we see that screen again?
The Zoom online.
Sorry, yeah. Just to see if there's anybody that's joined us to speak. Okay. All right, I'm going to close public comment and bring it back to the commissioners. Commissioners, I
have one question for staff.
Sure.
He mentioned that there's two items that they are not in compliance and has talked to city staff about that. Will those be added to the development agreement as an amendment via Stephen Schaefermeyer, or how are those resolved?
So I was gonna mention that in the site plan discussion, but okay. Yeah.
Before you make any motions, at this time, it probably won't. You probably say no, but just in case, Anna can print 6 copies of that development agreement and bring them down and give them to you. But you probably want more time to review a 29-page document. So, just to make sure that wouldn't, you know, you wouldn't want to do it tonight. But it's if you did want it, we could do that. Otherwise, we'll email it to you.
Commissioners, I'm open to that. That's up to you.
I don't have an issue with that.
You do not have an issue with that?
Yeah, I'd be on board.
Should we?
I read fast. It's fine.
Can I just make one comment on the public comment before we get that? So I know he mentioned, so unfortunately, City Council has already made action and entered into a development agreement, which hopefully we will see here in a moment, that this will be developed. And so that occurred in 2022 at a previous commission and council meeting. So unfortunately, it's not the purview of this commission. We can't undo that decision that's already been made. We can just, with a development agreement, make sure that what's been agreed to has been satisfied in the plans presented to us this evening. So unfortunately, I know our member, the citizen who had attended this night, unfortunately, we just don't have that purview. So unfortunately, that's long past that point. And we can just mitigate any impact based on what's presented to us in the site plan. So I just wanted to make sure that's on the record.
Thank you. I'm going to motion that we recess for, it's probably going to take 15 minutes. Does that sound appropriate? We'll reconvene at 7:40. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Greg, thank you for the fast acting. I'm sure Mr. Seaman is very appreciative not to have to come to us another meeting. Thank you. We reconvene from our break and continue our meeting.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, so I think we agree that the question that we need answered for this item is what the 20 units apply to and what piece of property. Mr. Simonson, your background is going to be needed. You've told us about having to interpret properties, and they've told us Exhibit 8 is the property, and it looks like this bunch of degrees and feet. And is there any way?
Hold it up on the county parcel.
Oh, all right. And you were able to type that in, and it shows?
Well, the tax ID is the parcel ID.
Okay, so
it, up on the county
is it the 3.16 or the 1.9?
So that is the 3.16 acre property.
Okay.
So the whole property, which is why we're subdividing, correct, Miguel?
I'm sorry, I didn't quite hear the question.
So the in Exhibit A, the legal description for the property is the entire property, which is governed by this development agreement. But that's why they're asking for a new subdivision out of it, so that it's only the smaller property. But if this document governs the entire property, I guess I don't know what I'm asking.
I think she wants to ensure that they can't, that in the future, it can't be suggested that additional properties be built. I mean, sorry, not properties. Obviously, there's outside a commercial interest, but additional residencies.
Outside of the proposed subdivision boundaries?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's true. That's 20 units based on the 3.16 acres. So they can, and this is dividing up, they're getting the 20 units now. They can try to come
without an amendment, and do it,
but have to go through the whole process of, that would be more than a minor amendment to the development agreement if they try to do that.
So will this document continue to govern both parcels now that we're splitting them?
So
that document covers, both parcels.
Okay, so will we have to amend Exhibit A because now we have two different properties and the legal description only has one?
Isn't this the zone? This development agreement covers the zone, right? Like the entire zone?
What the development agreement does is it says this is the this is the project, and it says Exhibit A is the project. And I guess what we're saying is that out of Exhibit A, we're making an actual platted subdivision within this development. And we're not developing these other areas. At least there's no application before you, and it can only under the development agreement have 20 units. And that's what they have. So I'm hoping that answers your question. But
it has to follow the concept plan.
That's exactly right. That's the proper nomenclature is the concept plan. Yeah.
So the plan is to cram all 20 units that could be across the 3 acres into the 1 acre subdivision.
Two acre
subdivision.
Right. And I presume that the rest of it's going to remain, well, the applicant could tell you, but it's going to remain open spaces or hopefully landscape, something like Temple Square.
So I assume this is a little bit like Daybreak, where they have a total number of units they're allowed, and they bring us subdivisions all the time that say, okay, here's where we're using 50 of them, here's where we're using 20 of them. And it's always counting towards that master total that's governed by the agreement.
Right, and so we're what the applicant has told us earlier about the compliance with the development agreement, from everything I can tell, is spot on.
Okay. All right, thank you. Commissioners, do we have further questions? Do we want to bring the applicant up to clarify anything for this particular issue? I think I agree with what Ms. Bevan said earlier in our meeting, that really what we're just answering is, are they allowed this number of units in this subdivision? And I think the answer is yes, and that we'll be asking some more questions in our next item. But I'm happy to handle it however makes everybody comfortable. So if there's more questions, let's get them cleared up. If there's any discussion, let's have it.
I think in the motion we need to make sure that we list the two.
Do we do it here or do we do it on the site plan motion?
I guess those would both be on site plan. So
do on both?
Yeah.
or do it on both just to be safe?
Madam Chair, I'd like to make a motion, please, or attempt at a motion.
Sure.
I move based on the staff report this evening, public testimony, and the additional information that we have been provided of the development agreement, which was not included in the original
staff
report that was released online. I move that we, the Planning Commission, approve file number PLPP 20230041, approving the preliminary subdivision of the Harvest Point West project with the following notations: that the current addresses will be updated to reflect what is eventually determined by the Salt Lake County property assessor. Two, that the amendment to item number 4B has been agreed to by the city authorized designee to enter into such agreement and the applicant. And third, that item number 5D amendment is also entered into by both the city designee and the applicant.
Okay, we have a motion. Any discussion, or are we happy with that?
Which, Commissioner Gedge, which items are you referring to?
He did these two.
4B, which is the, and I'll just note into the record, sorry. 4B is that a 7 parking stalls and has been testified will be down to 4. And then item number 5D, which is the 2,100 square feet, and as the applicant mentioned,
right,
will be close to 1,900.
So you're talking about doing this in the subdivision?
No, I'm going to do it on, I would recommend making it on both, since they are both kind of just related. So that way, it's just make sure it doesn't get missed on either.
And then I would just like to call out that under F, minor changes are allowed by the planning department after conferring with city manager to approve.
Yes, I think I mentioned the city designee, so yeah.
All right, any other discussion? All right, I will second that motion. Ms. Valdez, or Ms. Crickson, I apologize.
Commissioner Gedge?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollis?
Yes.
Commissioner Wimmer?
Aye.
Commissioner Catmull?
Aye.
Commissioner Bevins? And Commissioner Bishop.
Aye.
Okay, this item passes 6-0, and now we'll hear its sister, the Harvest Point West Townhome Site Plan Application, and Miguel has our staff report.
So here you can see the site plan. This shows the buildings and proposed driveway areas, roads, the areas you see in the kind of tannish color are gonna be landscaping and a walk, pedestrian walkways. So they do meet the 20 residential, the residential unit requirement for the development agreement. So with this site plan, it was brought to our attention again that the parking requirement for a space up north of the plat that you will see here, kind of by that building and that road, Harvest Point Drive, the requirement there says in the development agreement that they have to have 7 spaces. But the site plan only shows 4. Mm-hmm. So a minor modification will need to be made to the development agreement for that, as well as the size of the residential units, which the floor plan was. Well, anyways, this is the elevation of the townhomes. But currently the floor plan for the residential units show 1,954 square feet instead of the 2,100 required. So that will have to be modified as well. And this is their landscaping part for the west half of their property. They are within the requirement for the trees and the percent turf grass allowed for landscaping. And they do have, let me see here. Yeah, they do have the number of plants and trees required, and they do have the allowed turf grass requirement. They are within it, that percentage.
I ask a question on this landscape? This is just for the 1.91 acres of the 20 units, correct?
Yes. So in the packet, you can see the full plan. But so this landscape plan just covers that kind of.
Just for the record, there is one for the full 3.16 acres of the entire subject property that's in this motion this evening.
The landscaping only covers that part where the townhome development.
I can ask the applicant what their intentions are for the remainder 1.26 acres.
So the remainder 1.26 acres currently stand, I think part of it might be vacant, but the rest of it is paved parking and driveway.
Miguel, because the piece that's going to have the four parking stalls is now going to be in a different subdivision, do they need any type of cross parking agreement? Or no?
So perhaps Greg Simonson can answer better than me, but because it's explicit in the development agreement where those parking spaces are to be located, I don't believe that they do need an agreement there for that.
So there are two garage spaces, two driveway spaces, 10 parallel spots, and then four spots kind of in that funny piece of land that are all assigned to this. Okay.
So just to confirm, sorry, I just want to make sure. So with 20 properties, four spots, that's 80. The 10 additional spots, 90 plus these four. So for this, that's 94 total spaces allotted for this, I guess, application. Mm-hmm. Just confirm my number.
Mm-hmm. 4.7 per unit.
Okay. And of course, there's no way we can prevent people from actually using their garages for parking. I believe this is going to be a, probably home ownership and not rental, where we can, like an HOA or something, where we can they actually have to use driveways for cars, or driveways and or garages for cars.
I have one other question. Miguel, in section 5F, it talks about privacy windows installed on the third floor of all buildings abutting lots 122, 410, 411, and at least all this Rushton Meadows subdivision. Are those just these lots down here along the bottom of this development, or which ones are those?
What section are you referring to?
So section E5F. It talks about privacy windows. I'm assuming that's the ones we see up top, obviously, but is that just this southernmost row of townhomes?
I'm not entirely sure there. Perhaps the applicant can answer
I'll ask the applicant. And then, Greg, can you confirm they don't need a cross-parking agreement since it's not on the property anymore?
My analysis is, okay, first, there's two aspects. It's not in the development agreement. It's something that's required. And then, do you have enough parking under the city code? And the answer is yes.
Okay.
Okay. Were you done with your staff report, Miguel?
Yeah.
Okay. For some reason, I missed your recommendation, which I assume is...
Oh, my apologies. So the recommendation, based on our discussion with Steve today, he supports the four spaces instead of seven, and he supports the slightly reduced requirement for the floor area, but the issue that we came to is that it isn't in writing. And it was not amended yet. So, he said he would still sign it off. So staff still recommends approval, but that will have to be addressed. So perhaps, I'm not sure if you want to add it as a condition mm-hmm. to approval, mm-hmm. that those two items are fixed sometime in the near future, or I'm not sure how else that would be amended. So.
Okay. Thank you, Miguel. All right, commissioners, Additional questions for the staff, or are we ready for the applicant? Okay.
I have a question for you. So I'm going to go on the RM6 zone. So the agreement talks about, I mean, we only had 15 minutes, so I didn't get a chance to compare with everything that was not. So maybe you could walk us through it. What kind of process went into comparing the RM6 requirements and then where the development agreement intersects? So they intersect, and then there's the development agreement overrides anything like defined setbacks and so forth. How did that review go about? How did that happen?
So I'm not entirely sure. I was not involved in the development agreement formation process. Greg, do you know?
Yeah, I was not involved with that either. I mean, it evolved over a 3-year period, and Miguel wasn't even employed when it first started. So I have no idea.
There's a few areas here, you know, as we go a little further tonight, that feel like they might conflict with one another, and maybe we're fine, but I just don't know what the consequences would be for approving it.
So
probably fine, but.
Could I make a comment?
Yeah, go ahead.
So as you know, I've been doing some aspect of this for years and years, and I'm now an old man, and I'm still doing it, but this is really typical, what you see here. I mean, why do we have a planning or a development agreement in this situation as opposed to others? Because this looks pretty vanilla, doesn't it? It just comes up and comes forward. Well, the reason we have a development agreement here is the city put in its code the PD zone to give more flexibility in planning and so forth. So when it was rezoned, and you'll notice like in the fourth whereas provision in the recitals, it says it is to be known as the RMPD zone attached as Exhibit D. Once it becomes a PD zone, the code says you have to have a development agreement, no matter how vanilla it may be, to give some flexibility. And so the applicant complied. And you'll see it was recorded clear back in January of last year. And experience shows that when you have a contract like this, when you actually get onto the ground, there's almost always some little detail that you've got to make a change. And you don't want to have to come back and go to the city council every time that happens. So that's the exact reason we have this minor change provision in subpart F that allows Steve Schaefermeyer and the city manager to make minor changes. And in my estimation, this is really minor. The square footage actually going down on the units as opposed to being an increase in the units is less objectionable in my estimation. And the loss of the 3 parking units is not something that is major. So I think this is something that as you look at the report, it says the proposed findings, it says that the project plans comply with the Harvest Point West Development Agreement. You may want to change that in your actual motion to say that it all complies with the development agreement except for the 2 subparts that you're talking about, and that you're going to allow the city development people and the city manager to make a determination if those are minor enough to not have to then go out and modify formally and go again before the city council to modify those two little provisions of the development agreement. And I suggest that you do that. The other avenue is that you could table it and you could come back and Mr. Schaefer-Meyer and Dustin Lewis, our city manager, could then come back with an actual writing and saying, say, we have determined under this section that this is a minor change to the development agreement, and that might give you more comfort. But I kind of like the way that you, I think you're headed. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I was just, well, it probably answers some future questions too. What I was, one of the things I was thinking about is like just looking at the R6 zone. So if we do just this lot or just this subdivision, what happens to the rest of the property? Does that have to be suspect to, or does that have to be subject to RM6, and would it qualify once we carve off this piece? Like the density of that, I mean, even though it's a separate lot, like as a maximum lot size, would that be exceeded? You know, and again, none of this is, there probably all of this could be handled through an amendment, or like you said, the modifiable clause, the modification clause. But I just wanted to like understand.
I have the same concern. It seems very focused, this development agreement, on just the residential portion and defining that, but doesn't make much reference to what the rest of it will be. And his comment that it should comply with the RM6 zone, except for where specifically called out in this, is a little perplexing. Because I assume the rest of it's meant to be commercial, but...
But we don't know.
Well, we might ask the applicant for sure. I guess I was under the assumption that much of it was in the commercial zone, but and so you can't develop that there. But I'm not that involved in exactly what's going on. If you want to let the applicant speak to that, that's up to you.
And that's what I was talking about, conflicting, because then you look at the concept plan, and it has essentially... I'm looking at Exhibit B, and there's existing commercial, and it looks like it's just going to extend out. So it's not like that would be a surprise. It just may not be described in a legal form in the development agreement, and that might be something the city needs to wrestle with a little bit.
Well, the thing that should give you comfort, as we've said already, is that it allows 20 residential units, and that's what you have.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you can't build any more residential units on the rest of the property. And again, the applicant's going to know better than I, but I suspect that that's going to have to remain a commercial use or parking area over there for their commercial uses.
Yeah, and I'm not concerned in about the subdivision. I'm concerned about the developer abilities to do with the rest of the property what you may want to do if we attribute the different parts of this development agreement to just this subdivision. Okay.
Other questions for staff? Okay. Mr. C. Water, I think we're ready for you. Seaman, sorry.
Jeff Seaman, Peterson Development.
Thank you.
Actually, I'll answer your question about the privacy windows. Do you mind going back to that exhibit, if you don't mind? So the site elevation, the bottom one, it says at the residence. You'll notice that the windows on the third floor are smaller and elevated, and we made that concession so they aren't looking down in the lots of those adjacent neighbors. So that answers that question. That exhibit that you're talking about, yeah, the idea is that existing commercial building will get extended and either become retail or something at a future point. So that's the idea there. Yeah, this one's a little bit funky for a number of reasons, because it is a commercial center that this portion of that commercial center never came to fruition because it's set back from the road. Retailers want frontage. And so this is kind of in, this is why we worked with the city to, and the city council to get this project approved as outlined in the development agreement. So, but where that commercial building will extend, that pertains more to like the commercial center. So it's going to have some parking and some frontage right adjacent to it.
Yeah, but it's inside the property lines described by
yes, the inside the tax parcel.
Which is subject to RM6, except for what's expressly overridden in this development agreement.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
These are three bedroom
yes.
townhomes.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what type of commercial you anticipate in the remaining?
You know, we'll have to see when the market, when we go to market on that. Okay. So.
Do you anticipate it will match the building adjacent to it?
Yeah, yeah. It'll okay. have the same motif. Yeah.
Okay. We have a concept plan that shows it looking like it might even be attached.
It's, it can't be attached, but okay. it'll be right next to each other. Yeah.
Can you confirm that there is a landscape barrier between the back of those commercial buildings and the parallel parking spots and the townhomes?
Yeah.
I just wanted to verify. That's what it looks like. I remember that being a big concern when people came that
yes.
unloading for businesses and backing mm-hmm. out of parking
spots.
So
there's going to be a precast wall separating the okay. commercial and the residential, and then there'll be that landscaping strip right there.
Okay, and then there will be a landscape barrier, it looks like, between the townhomes and the properties to the south.
And the residents, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And we sent the residents, we mailed copies of this landscape plan to them and said if you had any objections, contact us, and no one reached out.
Okay, and then you're aware, I'm sure you're aware, that once you reach a 75% occupancy, you are required to install all of the traffic?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Other questions? We'll start with Ms. Bevins.
You took most of mine, which is great. My only question is what is the anticipated timeline? Do you know when you plan to start on this project?
No, we don't know. Interest rates being what they are, I think it affected this demographic more than it has others. And so we're just kind of wait and see. They say that rates could drop this year, and hopefully that's the case, and then we'll get going on it. But no timeline yet.
Mr. Weimer?
Thank you. So a few questions. One, as the retail extends, where will those customers park and how will that impact the parking for this residential area?
Yeah. If you go back to the tax parcel, so yeah, this is a great one because you can see all of that parking inside the red. That's already attributed to this parcel, and so that will remain there. So there's ample parking within the commercial community or commercial center for this.
How much of that parking is currently being used for the existing businesses? Do you know?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
I drove through it noon yesterday. There was a lot of empty parking.
Yeah,
I've never seen that parking there. So
it's overparked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then just another question, why not 2,100 square feet? Why the 1,950 square feet on the...
Why was it a difference? So it's important to note that the lot size stayed the same. When the concept was created, there was one error in the depth of the units that kind of continued throughout the whole process. So it started there, and then no one changed it, so...
Mr. Kemmel?
Yeah, so on the development agreement does talk about the setbacks described on Exhibit B, you know, this concept plan, but I don't see any measurements.
Mm-hmm.
How do I think that's a question for city staff. I'm just trying to think, how do I reconcile that? So that is looking at setbacks. So it's... under terms E3, all setbacks will meet those shown on the concept plan attached hereto as Exhibit B.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if those are the same or different than RM6.
Yeah, I mean, we're cognizant to keep the same as was shown in that concept. So, but I don't know exact distance. I don't remember it off the top of my head.
And visually, it's not like sending off alarm bells in your mind, but I just don't know how to make sure.
Mr. Catmull likes precision.
Yes.
Well, I'm not finding any fault.
No, I think it's important, especially because I think, especially where this is both a commercial and a residential, and you're subdividing it because it's likely that those will never sell again together, I would think. I would think.
You mean?
Well, the residential units might get sold independently, and then you might lease the commercial space.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so this is one applicant today. It's two in the future, and they need to be able to have the same confidence that this, I don't know how that goes with the development agreement, because now you got two parties instead of one potentially, but I'm not sure how that works. That might be another question. So you don't, do you know anything about that in your design process?
Well, I know we were consistent throughout this, and we tried to keep the same. I mean, like I say, I don't recall off the top of my head the distance, but yeah, we.
You had those conversations with, with the staff.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, great, thank you.
Yeah.
Mr. Bishop, do you have any extra additional questions?
I'm curious about landscaping. I know the, I don't know what you call it, the guidelines from the city in terms of the amount of grass that something like this would have. It's reduced significantly. I'm just curious, how much green space are the residents going to have here?
Pretty much what you see in tan.
Right, that's a lot more than it's going in a daybreak these days.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, I think that's all we've got for now.
All right.
I'm going to open this item to public comment. If you've joined us this evening to speak to this item, we would invite you to come to the podium. We ask you to state your name and where you reside for our records, and then you'll have 3 minutes to present evidence to the commission. Are you here this evening to speak to this item? Okay, I'm not seeing anybody online, so I'm going to close public comment and bring it back to the commissioners. Commissioners, thanks to the quick acting of staff, feel much better now that we've had an opportunity to review this development agreement. I'm going to echo what Mr. Gedge said earlier. I know that we didn't love the first iteration that we saw of this, and we recommended accordingly, but we are guided now by this document. That said, I would like to let Mr. Seaman know that I do appreciate the iterative process he's gone through to address a lot of those concerns. This is better than I recall the first version being. It's something I'm more comfortable with. But those are my thoughts. We'll start with Ms. Bevins and then go down. Any other discussion, questions?
All my questions have been answered. I
great.
Agree. It's much better than the first time we saw this, so I appreciate all the work and the effort, and you know, the plans included in this packet were a lot more detailed than some of them we see, so I appreciate that.
Mr. Wimmer?
Yeah, I would just echo sentiment made earlier that my concerns are less about this particular subdivision than what's the plan for the rest of it, and I would really like to see more information on something like that. Rather than just parceling it out and hoping for the best.
Mr. Kemmel.
Yeah, before I add any comments, Mr. Simonson, so what does happen in a situation where there's one development agreement that gets subdivided and potentially sold at separate things? Who become the parties to that agreement, and how does that get adjusted? It's like, who can amend the development agreement?
I assume that what you're talking about is the definition of the concept plan and the project area, and that is set forth in that unreadable property description, and so that's entirely still covered by the development agreement, and so I believe that if they're going to do anything with that remaining property, they're going to have to come in and and do everything as if they're starting from scratch, at least with respect to the development agreement. With respect to zoning and everything, if they're in compliance with the law, then they're okay. But all of that property now is zoned with the zoning that's set forth in the development agreement. And so if they're going to do commercial, I don't know whether they need to go back and rezone or not, but they're going to have to go through that process and do what's necessary.
Yeah, and I trust that'll work out through the standard processes that the city has. I guess I'm just more curious, like, what does happen if they have like two, if you have the development agreement was originally signed by Peterson Development in South Jordan, Peterson Development divides and then divides these properties, sells them off to two different parties.
Do you remember the one where it was a quad and four business buildings went in? And yes. By the time the fourth one went in, they were limited on how much square footage they could have because there was a development agreement.
Yep.
Governing the entire thing, I think something like that.
Something like that. But
they'll still be subject to it.
I was just thinking, like, who would then get, like, who's the party there?
Whoever's trying to develop it, trying to comply.
That's interesting. All right, well, it's not germane to the thing here. I had a lot of my questions answered today. I feel like with the exceptions we've talked about, as far as, like, getting the details in writing and so forth, that I'm good with it.
Mr. Gitch?
First I want to thank the applicant. I know this is a very unique property location, the difficulties have been in the past and why they're, the public clamor that caused the delay in this probably over the years. So thank you for being a good partner with the city to come for a workable solution here on this. And just my only thing would be just moving forward, as we see things like this, where there will be slight changes to the development agreement, make sure, number one, we get that ahead of time so we can review those. But also, if there is a process where there's going to be amendments, that those are kind of finished before we see those, just so it doesn't give the impression this commission is maybe pushing through things prematurely. Mm-hmm. And so we just want to make sure that, we give all the citizenry that their due process on that. But I'm very favorable with this, the two minor amendments and the clauses and the work that everybody's in legal and the developers and all city staff. So I'm favorable moving forward with this application.
Okay, Mr. Bishop.
Just a quick note of appreciation to Ms. Crookston that we were able to get this development agreement and get through this tonight. I think we owed that to the applicant, so.
All right, with that, I think we're probably ready for a motion, and I think I'm nominate you to make it.
Thanks, appreciate that. Okay, I'm gonna make a stab, and I'm gonna make it a little simplified. So, okay, I move that based on the staff report, the discussion this evening, and again, referencing the development agreement that was provided us that was not published in the packet that was made to the public, that I move that we, the Planning Commission, approve the site plan application file number PLSPR 2023-00-3053 to allow construction of townhomes residences at 3773 West South Jordan Parkway with the conditions that I referenced in item H3 this evening. In summary, the amended addresses and the two amendments that we have cited.
Okay. Ms. Crookston, just to confirm, the agreement will be included in the meeting minutes.
Yes, it was presented we'll include to us that as an attachment since okay. I provided it as a handout.
Thank you very much.
Commissioner Gedge, would you be open to adding one more, maybe an advisory thing, that the applicant and the city go back and review the agreement to make sure it'll meet the additional development plans?
For the commercial.
I'm just looking at like the architecture, and the architecture pieces just talk about the buildings, and I think they're only talking about the houses or the, not anything to do with the commercial, for example.
You don't want the commercial to look just like the houses?
I don't know. Maybe they will, but it's going to be extending.
I mean, if that's what's written down, I guess
right,
that's
but it's
going to
be an
right?
extending an existing thing. So I think there's going to be probably a package of amendments that need to happen or adjustments because aesthetics can fall under the modification clause.
So not a condition, but just a...
It's an advisory.
Yeah, advisory that the city and the applicant continue to work on the development agreement for future commercial improvement.
To make sure it supports it so that the timeline, so that when the applicant is ready to develop, they can, and it's not encumbered by a process.
Would the applicant be agreeable to that? Okay, yeah.
You don't want to be back here doing that.
yeah, okay. With the applicant being agreeable to that, I'm fine with that amendment. Or change, slight modification.
A summary of that. Amendment.
Slight modification.
Okay, so, I will second the amendment and the motion as it is stated. Ms. Valdez.
Crookston.
You're okay. I threw a wrench in it tonight. Commissioner Gedge?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollis?
Yes.
Commissioner Wimmer?
Aye.
Commissioner Catmull?
Aye.
Commissioner Bevins?
Yes.
And Commissioner Bishop?
Aye.
Okay. This item passes 6-0. Mr. Seaman, we wish you the best of luck. Thank you for sticking through this process. All right, with that, we're going to shift into the legislative public hearings. When an item is legislative, just as a point of order, this body becomes a recommendation body. We do not have the final say on items under this. This means that we'll make a recommendation to City Council, but they will ultimately make the final decision. So with that, we have one item, the Walmer rezone, and Andrew has our staff report.
Michelle, I need to make that statement.
And before you have your staff report, we actually have a commissioner that would like to comment on this item.
Yes, so I had a conversation with legal. I am a neighboring property owner to this property we will be discussing, but I just want to put on the record, I have no financial incentive or stake in this property, and I will be voting tonight, unless something comes up that makes me feel like I need to recuse myself.
All right, Andrew, take us away.
Thank you, commissioners. The subject of this rezone tonight is located just between 104 and Bison Ridge Road. We're a little east of Costco. For reference, what's indicated in red is the subject property. It's not part of recorded subdivision. The owner, Keith Walmer, would like to sell the back half of his property. And so by doing so, it would create a two lot subdivision. Which requires the rezone because although the underlying zone that you can see is R1.8, he meets the development standards except for density. The density would be 2.2 units per acre with two homes on the 0.88 acre lot. So it's required to rezone to the R2.5, which does exist continuously across the street. So it would just extend over and still be compliant with code for him to do that. The reason he can't keep it separate is because by creating the subdivision, code does require that all lots within the subdivision have the same underlying zoning designation, which is what leads us here today. The owner is, or has moved to the state of Wisconsin, and so the two existing horses that are on the property are in the process of being relocated with him to Wisconsin, and given their age, will likely spend the rest of their lives there and will not come back with him. The existing home that you see will become lot one, and it will include the existing barn. While he's away, the owner intends to rent the entire property out to a tenant for the time that he's gone, and then eventually at some point in time return and live in the home himself while the entire retaining ownership of what would become lot one. And then lot two would be the back half of being sold to the applicant. Right here, you can see the existing conditions of the property on an aerial with the pasture and what's been provided by the applicant, what the property looks like, relatively flat in terms of its elevations and drainage. And this is what's being proposed for the expected subdivision application. What we can expect to see with the prelim roughly towards the end of spring, summer. There's not a rush on the developer, but that can be like an expected time frame for when you'll see the application before the commission. It's likely at some point that the three properties to the north will also do this exact thing with the rezone and selling off the rear half of their properties, which is an idea that has been expected with the surrounding community when the adjacent subdivisions to the north and the east were developed just under 20 years ago or so when their plats were recorded. The report mentions that City Council will hear this on March 5th. Since that has been published, the council has decided to cancel that meeting. So after tonight, the City Council will see on the next meeting on March 19th, and that has been properly noticed, re-noticed by mailing and on site with those postings. And with that, staff is recommending a positive recommendation from the commission tonight.
Andrew, will neighbors get mailed a new notice of that, or will it just be posted?
Both. The on-site one has been updated, and the updated mailing notice explaining that the new date it's been moved to will be picked up tomorrow approximately, so they should receive it sometime over the weekend, give or take.
I assume that the City Council meeting got moved for the caucus meetings?
Correct.
I think I'm missing one piece of information. So is this lot part of a larger subdivision and they're asking to be removed from that? Or are they not part of a larger subdivision, but they're just subdividing this one piece of property and becoming their own?
They're not part of a recorded subdivision. Everyone around them is. They're just the remnants that haven't subdivided yet. And he would like to do it now and sell off the back part.
While we're on that, could you maybe highlight either in description visually or could you describe how many of the lots surrounding are in a subdivision and not in a subdivision?
On the
map we're looking at?
If you look to the current zoning map on this screen, so the red is the subject property tonight. The R3 is a subdivision of its own to the north. Mm-hmm. The three properties in between it are still unrecorded, including the subject property, so those four. And then every property around them has become a subdivision. The Bison Ridge subdivision is the three south of that are part of that subdivision. And the 13 that are affronting Alexander Park Lane on the east side are all part of the Alexander Park Place subdivision.
So I think you just answered my question, but when this property subdivides, it will not impact the density of that subdivision because it's not a part of it. So we're not facing a situation where we're only letting the first X number of applicants do this and then the density is locked, right? It's its own standalone.
Right, it would be its own standalone subdivision that the rezone in order to be compliant is necessary.
Okay.
And so it's feasible, I would think, that these other three, I mean, I'm looking at their properties, could do the same.
Right.
And seek an R25,
mm-hmm.
So they could do a similar thing. Which you know, visually looks consistent with the state of the neighborhood and all that.
Right, and in each lot, it would just be two lots with one new house affronting Alexander Park, was all they can and would be able to do.
Does it become part of a subdivision, or is it just still two-piece subdivision all on its own?
It would be its own two-lot subdivision plat. And then each, depending on how the three to the north do it, if they do it separately, each one would become its own two-lot subdivision, or if they came in together, mm-hmm. One whole subdivision.
Mm-hmm. Well, this, the property with the existing structures, have any issues with the percent of coverage that they have? It looks like it's mostly asphalt once you divide it in half. Does asphalt count against you?
No, just the building and
just
the barn.
The building.
And they would comply with the development
standard. Is it 40%? We have a shed too. Is the shed and the barn and the house?
The this existing barn has the kind of structure that branches off to the property line is a makeshift carport, which will have to come into compliance, and the property owner is aware that undergoing this process, we do have to bring the whole property into compliance. You will have to modify the distance to the property line for that, and he is open to that and understands what he needs to do, including the loss of the farm animal rights.
So even though that property line's not changing, subdividing it makes him have to bring other things into compliance?
With that one, his structure is on the property line.
But not the property line we're discussing tonight. I'm just curious about the process.
It's part of the development standards for the underlying zone. And it's okay now because it's the way that it's been throughout time. But now that we're going through a change, especially to a different zone, we need to address all issues and bring it all into one compliant property, or in this case, two properties from the get-go.
Are there any requirements for upgrading the curb and gutter sidewalk? It doesn't look like it has it along Alexander Lane.
The right-of-way has been dedicated, but the improvements will come with the development of the plat. They aren't required to do the utilities that are private, like Rocky Mountain and CenturyLink. Those come through whoever comes later, but they would be able to do, are required to do what the city provides. And there is a reimbursement in play that needs, there will come more details with the subdivision application, where it becomes more relevant onto how exactly that'll go once the numbers are ran on what's required and what was put in place and what changes from now to then.
Okay, so that comes later. This is just a rezone.
Correct.
And then when they go
just
to,
looking at the rezone standards.
But you do anticipate that when this property moves forward with a site plan, they will be required to provide a bond for those improvements?
Of
sidewalk, curb.
The improvements will be necessary per the agreement, which when the prelim comes in, you will see a copy of, and we can, there will be a further discussion on what is required for this property to do for the developer of the subdivision. Some of the improvements they aren't required for, some are, and staff will be digging into what is and what isn't when the prelim comes in after final approval of the rezone.
Jeremy, do you anticipate that curb and gutter will be required and sidewalk? That surprises me that that wouldn't be required.
It will be, yes.
Okay.
Yes, sidewalk, curb and gutter, the roadway widening, that will be required as part of the improvements.
Okay. All right, questions for staff?
One question, Andrew, just for the record, obviously the applicant is not the property owner, and where the property owner is in another state. I know that you've had conversations with the property owner, but does the city have some kind of record showing that the property owner is approving of what's going on tonight, where he is not the applicant and he is not present?
Correct. I have the applicant present, and we do have the required affidavit from the property owner authorizing the applicant to handle this process.
Perfect.
On his behalf.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Weber? Just a quick question, just because I don't see it drawn anywhere. Will the sidewalk, or I'm sorry, will the driveway be exiting onto Alexander Park Lane?
For lot two, yes, they get one access cut per previous arrangements.
Okay, and it will go out in the direction of Alexander Park Lane instead of any sort of...
Correct.
Okay.
Anything else? Okay. Mr. Campbell?
Questions for city staff?
Mm-hmm.
No, okay, thanks.
Mr. Gay?
The only, I guess, concern will be, you know, if this was to be, go through and the remnant property, the new lot one has an existing barn, it'll still have some ample property, I guess, would be the mechanism or code enforcement to make sure that there are no animals remaining on the property. Large animals, since the animal rights will be vacated with this rezone, what, I guess, surveillance or enforcement is there for that, just because, you know, keeping a barn that size with some amount of property is just a slight concern. And then I guess also, I know there's R18, but this is the first, other than the R2.5. So because this is the first in this entire area, that's not considered a spot zone. I know when maybe the three properties to the north eventually rezone, but you know, this, we're making this a one-time spot zone today. Any concerns with that? Obviously we're gonna be setting a precedence today. I'm just throwing that out there. So just making sure that we're not, you know, creating a spot zone, which I know is not looked upon favorably.
The spot zone thing has kind of gone away over the years.
And okay, just making sure.
But it also, what we rely on is its stable neighborhood, is the land use. And we feel that this zoning will fit within the stable neighborhood because of the other 5 zone in the close proximity. And we would probably also, if the neighbors to the north, the other properties that haven't done this before yet, their only pretty much only their only option would be the R25 as well. We probably wouldn't like to see an R3 necessarily or R4 or anything else go in there, and they couldn't be able to divide it unless they do rezone to the R25. When it comes to the animals, that zone does not have animal rights. However, if they have animals on the property, they can keep them until development occurs. And that would be subdividing is considered development. And I think Andrew mentioned that the owner is in the process of removing the animals. Once they're gone, they can't come back. But if they're still on there, the zoning doesn't make them have to get, they don't have to get rid of them with that zone. They just can't develop. They won't be able to do a subdivision though, which they plan on doing if they're there. But if they remove them before the subdivision, they won't be able to come back because they've been gone.
So in the future, if someone decides, oh, I have a barn and I have 4.428 acres, I want to put something there, there's an enforcement mechanism that residents can contact city.
Yeah, it would be the residents that are going to have to tell us because we don't go out and check what they've got. But yes, I'm sure that the residents probably would. I mean, I would. So turn my neighbor in, I guess. So.
Great. Thank you.
Mr. Pisha?
No questions. Okay.
I believe we've got the applicant present. Is there anything you'd like to add to the staff report? If you do, we'd ask that you come to the microphone just so that it gets captured for our audio recording.
Not really.
Okay.
I'm fine answering questions.
Ms. Bevins has a question for you anyway, so we're going to request that you do please come up. Will you state your name for the records and who you represent?
Yeah, Craig Bonham with High Country Homes.
Thank you.
Okay, just this is probably not for a reason, but just so that it's out there. I'm sure you've been there. You're well aware that there's quite a slope difference between the lots in Bison Ridge and that property. Is there a plan to kind of mitigate some of that or what's, because I know some of those lots are kind of sinking down into his property and we would like to prevent that.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. Obviously, I have to, as a builder, I have to retain all the water and everything off my lot, so that'll be something that I have to do. It does drop a little bit in that lot, so the dirt that I probably dig up from the hole will probably fill that pretty quickly. That's a good problem to have as a builder, so I don't have to haul dirt off. So, yeah.
Other questions for Mr. Baum while he's up here? Thank you.
I guess I can answer, tell, because the curb and gutter is already there, so that won't change. The sidewalk's not there. So the only thing that I'm going to have to do from my side is run the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. The sewer's already there.
Are you referring to sidewalk on 3200 or Alexander?
I'm referring to on Alexander. Yeah, and that's... That I won't touch anything up on 3200. It'll just be the sidewalk, so the park strip and the sidewalk, and that's. But the sewer water irrigation is already there. They've 20 years ago, they've already planned that, and so I won't have to even tear into the road, which is kind of nice. And these lots, the one that I'll be building on is going to be 0.45 acres, and then the Walmer will be 0.43, maybe just a little shy of that. But those lots, and probably your lot too, is probably a third of an acre. So these are, 15-20% larger than the lots that are in Bison Ridge. So I think that's probably all I need to add.
Thank you, Mr. Baum. All right, I'm going to open up this item to public comment. If you've joined us this evening to speak to this item, we'd invite you to address the commission. I don't see anybody in our auditorium or online, so I'm going to close public comment and bring it back to the commissioners. Commissioners, discussion, concerns. This one is easier than some. I do agree with Mr. Gedge. It sometimes feels funny to apply special zoning to little pieces, but I do agree with what staff pointed out, that it's stable neighborhood, that's compliant with our our 10-year land use plan. It's not a significant zoning difference as far as density with what's around it. We're going to start down with Mr. Bishop this time. Anything else to add?
Nope.
Mr. Gedge?
No, this is a good fit for an infill development. And also, you know, some people with some larger property lots be able to get a financial return on their property as well. So that I think this will be a good fit.
Okay. Mr. Campbell?
Similar comments to what you made. The only thing I would add is I feel like if I was to talk to any of the neighbors around there, I think that they would also say...
We're going to hear from one.
I know, but it feels like it's a stable neighborhood. That this isn't a materially different change. And so using that as a kind of a test for this exceptional rezone for a sliver over in a bigger zone.
Okay. Mr. Whitmer.
With a spot zone, somebody's got to go first, right? So if the others are likely to do this in the future, whether they do or not, it's not unreasonable to me. And I have heard on rare occasions that people do sometimes make better neighbors than horses. I don't know. So I guess it's all right with me.
Ms. Bevins.
I can tell you the neighbors definitely agree. I don't speak for all of them, but for those right near me, we definitely agree. And I just want to put on record, while we definitely miss Mr. Walmer, he was a great neighbor. The horses have definitely become more smelly since he moved to Wisconsin. So I'm thrilled to see that they will be moving with him and that it will be a good move for those horses there. He was a fantastic neighbor, so it's good he's coming back. And I think this will be a great addition to our neighborhood and look forward to seeing what you guys do with it.
Okay. Do I have a motion?
Somebody else want to turn tonight?
Mr. Bishop, let's try.
Go for it.
I'll give it a try. I move, based on the findings of this report, I move that the Planning Commission forward a recommendation to the City Council to approve, PLZB. To approve ordinance 2024-04-C, rezoning the subject property from R18 to R25.
Okay, we have a motion. Any discussion? All right, I'll second Mr. Bishop's motion. Ms. Kristen.
Commissioner Bishop?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollis?
Yes.
Commissioner Gedge?
Aye.
Commissioner Wimmer?
Aye.
Commissioner Catmull?
Aye.
And Commissioner Bevins?
Yes.
Okay, so the Planning Commission will forward a positive recommendation on this item to City Council, who will hear this meeting on, I believe you said March 19th?
Yes.
They're only meeting in March. We wish you the best of luck with that meeting.
Thank you.
Have a good night. We appreciate you coming. All right, that concludes our legislative public hearings. Other business? Do you want to ask Mr. Schindler your question?
Oh, good question. So maybe not for the first meeting in March, but in the second meeting in March, is there a...
Answer the first one.
Oh.
How does the first meeting look?
How does the first meeting look first in March? The one I get a miss.
Instead of talking into my phone there. And there's right now, there's only one item on that agenda.
And then my second question, the second, is that item something similar to Commissioner Bevins adjoining my property?
Have you memorized where all of us live?
Is it a rezone of a similar farm to a residential?
I don't think it's a rezone at all.
Okay.
It's a project that's on Redwood Road. It's a Demir's Point. It's called The Mix. It's a site plan that you'll be reviewing.
Have we seen it before?
There's two of them on Redwood Road that he's working on right now. Maybe it's the other one. I don't know which one you've seen before. But it's on the west side of Redwood, over by the, in the vicinity of the equestrian park.
So. Oh, that's not the one I was thinking of. Okay, we'll let you know.
Oh, if you're thinking of the one down on the west, on the east, east side, that's where the townhomes and the other.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not that one. So.
You apparently had a second question.
No, I'm just wondering if, no, I think Commissioner Bevins addressed it well regarding a legislative item and a potential, you know, neighboring situation. So if something similar to that happens to me, and hopefully the other commissioners, I plan on addressing it the same way. It's just if it was going to be the meeting, second meeting in March where I would be conducting the meeting, that might be a concern, where I might, you know, potentially have to recuse myself while conducting. So just FYI, if that is on the potential agenda for the last meeting in March, maybe push it to April.
All right. Yeah, we don't even have a, we don't have anything potentially for the last meeting in March yet. Nobody's.
Oh, even better.
It's probably on the list of pending. We have a list of pending applications and so forth, but we usually don't move them on until.
I have a dominant commissioner to take my place if I have a step out.
All right. Any other business from staff? Ms. Crookston, thanks for filling in today. Anything from commissioners? We already went over attendance for the next month. Okay. I think that concludes then. I will motion that we adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?